AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us this morning. Davis, let's get right to it. We've got Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa on the line. Senator Grassley, welcome back to AgriTalk.
How are you doing? I'm glad to be with you. I like to talk farming with you.
Well, we're back to that time of the year, Senator. We've got to get a crop update from you. How's the corn and soybean crops looking?
Well, it looks pretty darn good, but it's not going to look very good if we don't soon get rain. I put out my rain gauge on May the 1st every year, and we had 2.25 inches, 2 4/10 inches the first week of May. And we normally would get 5 to 6 inches during May. Mm-hmm. And I did get a half an inch last Thursday and 0.2 inch on Sunday, but we're way behind what we ought to normally have. And we've got to have rain. And if you'd look at the drought monitor for the state of Iowa, you'll still find in Monona and Woodbury County, extreme drought. Then in western Iowa, moderate drought. And if you include my Butler County and Franklin County and Bremer County, there's another moderate drought area there. And then the rest of the state is whatever you want to call it.
Abnormally
dry, I guess, yep, is the words they use. And yep, you've got 5 or 6 counties along the Minnesota border in, yep, northeast Iowa is the only place where they don't have a problem. And that's
right,
not good for our corn and soybeans.
No. Not at all. Even at this time of the year, it can be doing some yield damage. So we'll continue to keep up with that. That is for sure. Senator, it is Pork Week here at Farm Journal. We are going to be at the Pork Expo Wednesday and Thursday this week down in Des Moines. Hog industry is dealing with some tough financial headwinds and also trying to prepare for implementation of California's Prop 12. First off, your reaction to Prop 12 and the Supreme Court decision. And should Congress take on Prop 12 and pass legislation that prevents one state from telling any other state how to run its business?
The answer is yes. And this week, there's an answer to it that's similar to a bill that was in last year being reintroduced, led by Senator Marshall of Kansas. I think Ernst and Grassley will be on it. I think it'll be a bipartisan bill, and hopefully that passes. And it follows along the lines of what we know we can do to satisfy the Supreme Court, because the majority opinion, 5-4, was written by Gorsuch. And he said they were approving what California was doing, because the United States Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. And we hadn't passed any legislation in this area. And I get the idea that he was saying, in a sense, why should the Supreme Court step in and stop California from doing it when Congress has the authority to override it if they want to regulate interstate commerce? And I do want to regulate interstate commerce. In fact, it's one of the basic reasons why the Constitution was written in the first place. We had 13 independent countries in the sense of 13 colonies that had become independent of England, and they were keeping commerce out even among those 13 colonies. So the Constitution, yeah, was written to give Congress the authority to do it. So among those 13 colonies, and now among the 50 states, one state can't keep out commerce from another state.
Yeah,
it seems to me to be reasonable, and it seems to me that's the reason Congress needs to act in the case of California Prop 12. And that's what we're going to do this week, at least start the process.
Good.
Now, will we get it done? I don't know, because we're up against the human rights or animal rights organizations. Animal rights organizations that likes what California is doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am glad to hear you worked up about this, Senator. It sounds like it's coming in a standalone bill, but is it better as a standalone bill, or should it be included in the farm bill?
If it's included in the farm bill, it'll become law for sure. And I hope it will be included in the farm bill. And I would think we'd have enough votes in the Agriculture Committee to keep it in the farm bill. And once it gets in the farm bill, I doubt if it'd have 51 votes to kick it out.
Right, right. I go both ways on this, because on one hand, I think it's an issue that should be debated on its own merits and get the attention of a single, legislative bill. On the other hand, I want to see it done, and farm bill might be the best path. Are you satisfied with the progress on farm bill right now?
No, but I can understand why not much was done now. But what we finished at 10:30 Thursday night, avoiding a default and having a top line for what money's going to be spent 2024, we have a figure now that we can work with for the ag bill. I don't know what that figure is, but we'll be able to get a figure now, and it's going to be easier to write a farm bill when we know how much money we can spend in it.
Mm-hmm. Is there time to get it done before September?
When the chairman of the committee said she didn't think it'd be out of committee until September, I think that's difficult. If it could be done yet this year, I think it'd be okay. But if it isn't, we're going to have to extend the existing farm bill for 1 year to get us through the 2024 crop year.
Right, right. Okay. U.S. Trade Rep Catherine Tai has requested a USMCA dispute settlement regarding Mexico's ban of GMO yellow corn for human consumption. What's your reaction to that?
I applaud her for doing it, but she's about a year late. We spent since December 2020, this has been a problem with Mexico. We talk and talk and talk and talk, and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And now here we are 3 years later trying to do something about it. I'm applauding her for taking the action she's taken now, but it should have been instituted a long time ago.
Okay. You have seen U.S.-China relations chill and warm several times during your time in Congress. How do you describe the current relationship between the U.S. and China?
Well, both economically and militarily, it's not very good. I'm more concerned about military aspect, not so much because what China might do right now, but that we could have some accident over there. Like, you know what's going on in the Taiwan Straits now, where these Chinese airplanes are coming close to our airplanes, or their ships are coming close to our ships. There could be something accidentally happen there, and you could start a military conflict as a result of it. And our governments aren't talking like we should be talking. Like, for 50 years between the Cold War with Russia, we always had communication that involved military matters that would avoid setting off a intercontinental ballistic missile to the United States, or from the United States to Canada, to Russia. And so that worries me. Economically, they're irritated because we want to bring some of our manufacturing home. They're irritated because we want to stop them from developing a semiconductor chip industry. Things of that nature, but they're still, and in the meantime, they're retaliating by being tougher on our American businesses there, doing business there. So it's very troublesome.
some of the tariffs that the U.S. have on Chinese goods are being reevaluated. Should those tariffs be lifted?
Well, I'm a free trade guy, so I don't like tariffs, but I think that I accept the administration's view that they've had for 2 years that they don't want to take the tariffs off because they want to use them in negotiations with China. The trouble is, I don't see these negotiations going on where we can reduce our tariffs to get something from China. And as long as you aren't talking, that isn't a possibility. So in the meantime, the American consumer is being hurt by the tariffs because they're, you know, everybody, including Trump, bragged about bringing money into our federal treasury from tariffs, but there's no free lunch. American consumers that buy the products made in China are paying for that.
That's right. That's right. Senator, thank you so much for your time. Good luck. We will talk again soon. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, that is Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Let's get this Prop 12 issue settled. He wants to do it. Let's get some momentum behind it. Jim Minter, next.